Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs in chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 12 to get us started. It says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eye, with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. So number one, the sluggard and the naughty person. The naughty. I mean, which would you rather be? I'd take the third choice, right? So we have the sluggard and the naughty person, as the Bible talks. So last week we looked at the sluggard. The sluggard is rebuked because of what they didn't do, right? The sluggard's rebuked because of what they didn't do. They sat around and didn't do the things they should. They should have been motivated. Number two, yet we find next the naughty person, this son of Belial is sometimes the term is used here. It's called naughty or wicked. It's the son of Belial, those that would follow wickedness. They are rebuked for what it is that they do. Okay? The sluggard, it's what they didn't do. And for this naughty person, it's actually what they do. So the wicked man deceives with his own body. It's really, I mean, his whole body is drawn into this thing. It's quite an interesting thing. Number one, the mouth is froward. The mouth is froward. I put forward on there. I made a mistake. That's a typo. It's not forward. It's froward. It means it's perverse. Perverse is what that word, that froward means, perverse, it's or crooked, as sometimes but it really means this. What comes out of it is contrary to what is good. And that's what the froward mouth means. It's saying things, talking about things that are not good. Maybe saying, you know, it's actually going against you know, you ever heard maybe a kid or somebody say something like, I mean, you're supposed to talk like that. You know what I mean? You just, what's wrong? But this isn't a kid. This is a man or an adult that wants to do this. So the mouth is froward. Number two, he winks, shifts his feet and motions with his fingers. You know that kind of thing. Just, you know, kind of, hey, you know, right? Like this whole thing, It's interesting. It says he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. You know, I mean, you think, man, is he talking about? Sometimes stuff is going on here. A lot of activity with this whole body is involved in this whole thing. There's a lot of we're going to see in just a moment what's going on with all these things, how the whole body can, because he kind of comes back and deals with this again. But the whole body is, kind of this, you know, uses some body gestures. And the whole, the concept is bringing his whole self into this thing. Number three there, though, the thing is, though, but his wickedness is coming from his heart. It's coming from his heart. It overtakes him. That is where mischief is devised continually. What he talks about is he's devising this mischief. It's coming from his heart. And of course, the heart, we talk about the heart. When we talk about the heart, it's really funny because we know what it means, but it's a muscle, you know, pumps blood. And we talk about the brain. You know, what is, you know, there's the brain is really just a bunch of electronic impulses, but there, it's the spirit of it. It's what we use those phrases in the Word of God to talk about in our spirit and our how we think and what we meditate upon and what's going on. There's this devising these things that's all coming from that place. A under that, that is the source, which that being the heart, is the source of the discord that is sown. And so we'll get back to that again, because he kind of talks about these things, and then he kind of replays it a little bit. The sluggard, we talked about last week, the sluggard has poverty on his heels. Remember, we talked about this thing that it's like a traveler, one that traveleth. Poverty is just coming. It's coming because the slugger's like, he's over there kind of like, I really ought to do something about that later. I'm gonna do something about that later because that's going to be a problem. And, sleepest and all this. But notice in verse 15. Therefore, shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. So the sluggard has poverty on his heels, but the wicked one has calamity coming. It's under there, his life is ushering in distress. And that's the meaning of that calamity. It's distress or trouble. The wicked one has this trouble. It's coming. And it will break him. It will break him. And that's what the wicked one has, this stuff that's going to come. There's going to be distress and trouble, and it's going to break him. And the Bible tells us here that there is no remedy for him. Now, when we say this, we have to understand what we're not saying. So they can't even be saved. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is that life. There's no remedy out of that life. You're going to continue. You're going to continue. Of course, in here, this isn't the book of the gospel, right? This isn't the book of God's plan and theology about this is a book of wisdom. And what he's trying to get across is when you live that life, of wickedness, it's going to bring trouble. There's no way out of it. Well, I'm going to be a little smarter than the other guys. Right? Everybody thinks they're going to get out of it. Right? That thing is, I'm going to be different. I'm smarter than those other idiots. Right? Until you realize you're looking in the mirror, I am that idiot. I'm not going to get out of it. And isn't it funny, though, how we often think, I'm not going to fall for what everybody else falls while I'm falling for it? It's really, but this is what that's what he's saying when he said there's no remedy. Look at number two now, Roman numeral two, 6 + 1. 6 + 1. We're going to do some math tonight. Sometimes we do English, sometimes we do arithmetic. Here we go. Verse 16, he says, "These 6 things doth the Lord hate; yea, 7 are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So, 6 + 1 is a poetic literary form that's used in the scriptures. It's a Hebrew use. It's kind of sometimes because our Bible is translated in English, we miss some of the poetry. Some of the rhyming that would be, we have those kind of things. We have little sayings that we do. We have a lot of little riddly things that kind of, they rhyme or they come together. And so it kind of, it's real catchy, And so we lose some of those from the Hebrew that were used. But this is something that we find this a few places, the same kind of concept, the 6, and then it adds one more. Number one, the first six things all lead to the final one. And so what he's saying is there's these things, these things that here in this particular time, there's these things that God hates, right? He says there are six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven. Okay, so it doesn't mean six plus seven more. It means six plus one gets to that seven. That one thing that it's abomination to God. So all those other six things lead up to that, and they're going to point to it. And that's the thing that the culmination of it, if we would say, that God, it's abomination. When I think of an abomination, I don't know how strong a word we can say, other than if I was going to try to visualize what abomination would be, it'd be to go up to God in His face and spit a loogie in His face. That's the graphicness of abomination. It's how could you be any more? You think, well, that's to God. We're not going to. Well, He says it here, and so that's the level of it. It's as gross and as disgusting as it could really be to God. And this is what the wicked one does. Can I just say, there ain't no getting out of that, right? I'm going to tell God whatever I want to tell. When I get up to heaven, I talk to God. I'm going to tell Him, no, you ain't. No, you ain't. I've heard people talk. You've heard of people talk like, yeah, well, one day when I get to heaven, if you think you're going to talk to Him like that, probably you're going to be in utter darkness. I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm not trying to. But there's a thought that gets there that we think we're going to tell God one day. I'm going to tell, you know what happens when people get in the presence of God? They fall on their face. All of a sudden, it's almost like the earth becomes a magnet. They're down there like, oh, wow. You know, I don't think anybody's going to be. I think we underestimate the presence of God. You know what I mean? Just the, wow. So there are six things mentioned that this wicked man is involved with. That define this wicked man. So number one, a proud look. A proud look. The winking of the eyes. And that spell check that got it. The frowardness. I'm going to blame. Anytime there's an error, it's spell check's fault. How about that? Isn't that good? I like that. Okay. The winking of the eyes and the frowardness of the mouth are all part of the look of this wicked one. Kind of just a proud, you know, just kind of, you can almost kind of sense this kind of, you know, yeah, kind of have the head cocked back a little bit, strutting, just the whole look. And he gives body parts and the figure and the facial gestures and the winking. We don't really find that winking of the eye other places, but there's something here that's, it's a whole kind of, you know, you see some, typically, women do this too, but it's typically something that falls under men, and we would call them a word called creepy, right? And, you know, when a guy makes another guy feel creepy, there's a problem. And so there's, you know, and you're just like, wow, that's a big challenge in our society today. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it's just like, wow, I don't even know how to feel about all this. And so, but there's this whole thing of a proud look. And by the way, this whole LGBTQ society today, there is a huge, this right here, a proud look, is a huge part of that. I was out at the mall. We were out at the mall when we went to go get the girls last week. And we dropped one off, picked Kayla up, dropped Joy off. So we were waiting. We went to the mall. Say, why did you do that? I don't know. They had food there, so I was looking for one of those chairs you put a quarter in. A dollar nowadays, they didn't have any. Anyway, let me move off that. So I'm there. I seen there's a man. I'm pretty sure it was a man. Had this, but then had this like a little girl. Is that for me? No, it's for you. Okay. He had this. Like a sweatshirt with a pink sweatshirt with some kind of children's thing and a little skirt and these things that socks that were striped. I thought, you know, this isn't just, no girl. I said, no girl is going to wear that today. No girl is going to wear that. She, I mean, maybe if she was 8, 6, 7, maybe? Probably then 9. See that, parents? What, I thought, this isn't about, I just want to be this. It's about trying to have this, I'm going to do what I want to do. There's a proud look. By the way, it isn't just that group that has this. That's not who this was written to. Right? Though there's a lot of people involved, this is Solomon telling his son, this is what a sluggard looks like. This is what a wicked, naughty person looks like. Is this someone that has this proud look? And when you see that, watch out for that proud look is what he's saying. By the way, I think he would be clearly saying, don't do that. But there's more than that. It's also, look for that one that's kind of, you know, too cool for school, we call it. You know, they just think they're, you know, they're really, like, I'm just, you know, I don't even want to try to do it because, like, I don't want y'all to say, man, you do that too good. You know, and so there's a whole thing, there's a look with this thing. Listen, pride is the beginning. It is the sin of Satan himself. That's the thing of this pride. This is where this begins. At the very abomination, of course, he said it's what he hates. It's this thing of pride that starts, and it's this, the very thing, it's just gross and the sin of Satan. That just like Satan, can you imagine Satan just coming up and saying, I want to sit up in your throne, God. I want to take your place. It's, you know, we read about that. Where Lucifer, you know, and he wanted to have, and we're thinking, I don't even know how to put that in, conceptualize that, what it would be that you would think I could take the creator of all the universe's place, having seen all that they see, and yet still there's that. And so pride, it's just a terrible thing, and it's the very sin of Satan himself. Number two, though, is a lying tongue is quick to follow. A deceiving heart will always resort to lies. You know, some lies are okay, right? I mean, you know, I just lie so because I don't want to hurt people. Right, I'm going to lie, so just because I could save a few dollars, it's good stewardship. I remember one time we were at a buffet, and many years ago we were at a buffet, and some little girl, probably I wouldn't do, I don't know why I did, maybe the Lord just did this so I'd have an illustration. But I asked this little girl, I said, hey, how, you know, we're talking. I said, how old are you? And now, of course, I had kids with me, so it wasn't as creepy as it sounds. And this is probably 20, 25 years ago, so I didn't even, it wasn't, you know, I don't know, maybe it was going on, I didn't know. And I said, oh, I said, how are you? You were talking. I said, how old are you? She says, well, when I'm here, Mom says I'm 9. You know, I guess it was under 10 and it was free or something. I thought, wow, okay. And I thought, I mean, this is Sunday after church. I don't know if they went to church or not, too. But I thought, wow, that's a blessing. You're teaching your kid to lie. But, you know, it saves a few bucks. A deceiving heart will always resort to lies. You just can't help it. What does it matter? It's, you know, what you find, if you find yourself telling a lie, realize it's coming from a deceiving heart. I don't want somebody to know. And you know, there's no justification that says it's not a big deal. Right? Because it's on God's list of what? Hate. It's on his list of hate. Well, I mean, you know, I don't mind being in the hate category as long as I'm not in the abomination. Really? You understand what I'm saying here? What he's dealing with? These are, anyhow, let's move on. It's getting too quiet. Sometimes it's like, man, anyhow. Number three. Hands that shed innocent blood. So this wicked one does the gesturing, the signaling, and the instruction of others. So what we find here is, we found up there just earlier, it talked about this one that he is winking with his eyes, he's speaking with his feet, he's teaching with his fingers. So sometimes what we find, the wicked one isn't the one doing the dirty work. He's the one causing others. You ever seen a somebody that likes to stir up trouble or get somebody else to do it? Can I just say this here? Let's not pretend that that person is guiltless of the blood that's shed. Well, I didn't do it. Well, you made somebody do it, or you caused somebody to do it, or you've stirred this up, and sometimes we have this plausible deniability, right? I didn't do it. I wasn't there. You know, by the way, the law doesn't find that to be a case either. If you've been a part of that and so forth, and so we find this. Listen, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. We're living in a day. I don't know if it's happening more or we just hear about it more. So that's kind of a little bit of our confusion. But I would say probably never before in history were there people that would go inside of a school and just shoot up little kids for no reason. We're in some wicked days, some wicked times. I don't understand. There's some of these. This last one, I guess, was in Iowa, I think. But they had some video of the kid. And he's like, I'm getting excited about that. I'm thinking something's going on here. Something's going on in this thing, right here in the heart, that you would get there and you're just putting out social media videos about the fact you're going to go in and shed the blood of innocent people. God hates this. Number four, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. This man does not just do evil, he contemplates it, thinks about it. He is thinking about the hurt and harm to do to others. You know, this isn't innocent. The Lord tells us that, you know, if you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. I say if you're angry with your brother without reason, I think is how it's said, you're guilty. You know, God wants us to correct this thing while it's still inside before it gets out. Right? There's a place. You know, when I first got saved, I still had that old man, had a lot of control in my mind. There's a lot of stuff in there. You know what I mean? A lot of stuff in my mind, and you don't just get saved and it disappears. It's still there, and it's bringing up, and this temptation, this. And I had to realize that, listen, what I began to do is I said, God, when it comes into my mind, I want to begin to deal with it then. And so I'd come in, I start thinking on something. I'd catch myself thinking. I said, God, please get this out of my head. Forgive me for that. And try to, like, wow, stop now. And why, it was just coming. You know what I mean? And began to deal with it at that place. But this wicked man, this naughty man that it talks about, he actually enjoys devising wickedness. Like it's funny. Like it's almost a game, and it's a pleasure to think about what I would do to them. I'm not going to do it. I just, you know, almost all of these school bombers, not bombers anymore, they're just shooters. Now, that's weird. It's one thing when they bombed. I mean, that was terrible too, but you were away from it. But now that you're going to look in a little, I can't even imagine. This is what he's talking about, a wicked person that would look a child in the eye and shoot them. Like just some random kid that didn't do anything to you. Our society is our society today. I watched a video. I had to quit watching and just turn my stomach. There's these videos. Somebody, they had a traffic cone, just one of these cones, and some old man was walking across the street. They beat him to death with the traffic cone. He'd get up, beat him until he's dead. I thought, what is? It's just. Just the wickedness. He said, listen, just imagine what the people... Here's what I want to say. the people that Solomon was trying to warn his son is people that you could find yourself hanging out with. You could find yourself just joking around with one. And he said, I want you to realize there's something in their heart. There's something in their heart there that this isn't, you don't want to be with that. Something's going on, and you need to be aware of what's going on with them, because this is what they look like. They enjoy devising that. I'm telling you, the challenge with some of that is it could come off where, like, we're just friends, we're giggling, laughing together, and like it's this kind of a thing, and all of a sudden, what they're coming out with, and you can become desensitized to it. So look at number five. Feet that be swift to run to mischief. Listen, there's no resistance. It's a pleasure to get into. Listen, this person, he wants to be there. He wants to get there to get into it. He's swift to it. It runs like, you know, there's somebody over there gossiping. You're like, ooh, there's some gossip going over there. I gotta go see what they're talking about. Right? Just like I got to get over that because I don't want to miss out on it. Listen, I have to deal with this. I can remember when I went to this many years ago. I went to a hockey game, first hockey game I'd went to as an adult, and I had to deal with this in my heart. They started fighting on the ice, and I liked it. I thought this is great, this is fun. And I'm like, no, I didn't like this hockey. And I had a little challenge. I'm like, should I like it or not? I'm not sure because I like to see. And so later on I realized, okay, that's part of the game, so it's okay to like it anyway. But people like to do that. There's a fight going on. Something like a fight or something like that goes on today. You know what folks are doing? Watching some kid get beat, the life beat out of him, and you got about eight people over there doing this number. These are a blessing, aren't they? We get to see all this on YouTube later on. I just want you to see some of those videos. You're like, how do you watch that? I mean, the person videoing that man being beaten with the cone, maybe it was a video camera, I don't know. But I'm just thinking, there's a lot of these that they're videoing. I'm like, put that thing down and go help these people. And then I've seen some where they've done that, and they end up being the one that gets killed, and the video is on them. We live in a strange... Wickedness is not something that's... Listen, this is why God hates it. We're seeing it. We're seeing it come alive here in America. Right? We're seeing this become something that's so... Hey, listen, you know, we need to be aware of these kind of folks. It's not as innocent as... Look, God hates this stuff. And number six, a false witness that speaketh lies. So not only lies that are told, but false reports of others. See, this is what begins to happen. They begin to give false reports of others. There's this kind of situation where I want others to... I'm going to give a false witness. I'm going to tell a story, not just for my own good to get cheaper price at the restaurant or on something. Now I'm going to tell a lie about someone else. This naughty one purposefully develops false narratives of others. And they'll make things up and they'll say things and they'll tell a story about you. You ever had somebody tell a story about you and you're sitting there like, that did not happen. You know, you're just like, are you kidding me? And you're like, that did not happen. I wasn't even there. You know, and you're just thinking. And then you look at it and you want to look at it right in the eyeball and like, how are you saying that? You know I didn't do that. Like, yeah, you did. Thinking, you ever had that happen to you? You think, what is wrong with people? I mean, to sit there, look them in the eye, and they're like, yeah, you did. You're thinking, and then for a moment, you're thinking, man, did I do that? It's like this, they're telling it like it's a real story. You're thinking, man, this is what the wicked do. You think, oh, we're having fun. Mm-hmm. Until you become the one that they're having fun with. So, number seven. This is the culmination, the purpose, the abomination unto the Lord. Is number two, sowing discord among the brethren. So sowing discord. Number three, Roman numeral three here, sowing discord. A contention and division. Division is that blank. The culmination of the wicked one is to set a division between other people. This is the way. This is the purpose. This is the goal, is to set this division. It's meant to kind of pry apart. Okay? And when you set that division, undoubtedly, the goal is to separate friends in order to get them on your side. Right? Did you hear what she said about you? Did you hear what she said about you? I said, don't you need a new friend now? Right? You see how that goes? And it's like, you know, they said this. And so there's when we divide, you know, you heard the thing, divide and, yeah, we all know that one, don't you? Right? Divide and conquer. And so we get them across. So you know, I break up that relationship, that friendship, that whatever. And then now I have a new friend. And now because we're on the same side because we hate that other one together. Right? Wow, what an evil. Isn't that evil? So this is the abomination, the attempt to do this. Number two, what a terrible way to win someone's favor. To win someone's favor by hurting someone else. This is a disgusting way to deal with people. I'm telling you, it's a disgusting way to deal with people. The context here is primarily one of families. What he's talking about here in brethren, it's this way, turning family members against each other. And this is something that that happens among people. They turn the family members and try to get. And I'll tell you, some of the you want to see some wicked families. Wait till someone dies that has some money. People turn just. I could tell you stories. We don't have time tonight, but listen. But it could be also neighbors or friends. Be of course for us. It is the brethren, fellow church members. You know, number one, I cannot think of anything more gross to the Lord Jesus Christ than for a church member to sow discord among other church members to develop closer friends. I mean, listen, I'm going to hurt the Lord's church. I'm going to create something and sow a division so that I could have closer friendships. I've watched this happen before, like some kind of business meeting. I remember there was a situation where people were going around calling. Hey, this is happening. They're going around calling, getting all the people on this. And then the business meeting comes out, and boom, all this happens. I thought, man, they intentionally sowed discord so they could win the vote? Are you kidding me? What are you going to win? You know, yeah, we got our color of our carpet. I don't know if that happens anymore, but whatever the thing is, what a mess. You never know what terrible harm you do to someone by turning them against a brother. Man, you don't know. It may be a moment of frustration or hurt to you, but it could destroy their fellowship with the Lord. I've seen people. Some will get upset, not got kind of crossways with God, and they go and talk to their spouse or their children or their parents or somebody. They'll go talk to me. Yeah, that pastor over there, he said that, you know, they're mad. They're mad about something. Maybe something hurt. Maybe just said, you know, just didn't like it. Hurt. Maybe the pastor was out of line. Whatever the case is, they're mad. They go back and tell their lost family member or their kid. And yeah, and then later on, you know what they do? They get it right. They're like, okay. But this other person, they sold all that. That person never recovers. I find it all the time happening. People, yeah, this happened in church. Man, it just happens, and they're just destroyed. They're destroyed. Their fellowship with the Lord is destroyed. See, this is the work of the wicked one, not the brethren. Listen, what I'm saying is this. This isn't what saved people do. We ought not be involved in this thing. Verse 15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. If there's an area that God would be less gracious, I would think it'd be this one. God said he hates those things, and it's a flat-out abomination to him. You know, there's times when we get hurt. We get our feelers hurt. You know what I mean? Someone stepped on my feelings. That happens. People say something that hurt my feelings. By the way, I'm trying to make a little light of that. Sometimes it does hurt our feelings. It does. hurts, and they, I can't believe they think of me that way. And this, listen, can I just say, just keep it to yourself for a bit. Keep it to yourself for a bit, and just take a little time, think about that, come back, and say, hey, you know, I'm talking about the brethren. Come back and say, hey, you said that to me. It hurt. And I'm just wondering, is that what you meant? And I'll tell you, we'd probably destroy about 90% of those problems. 10% of the time, they are a jerk and they meant it. But most of the time they're not. They just, something, we all get something stuck in our crawl at times, you know. It just happens, you know. I wish we were all perfect. One day we will be. But until then, let's let God be the ruler of our heart. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, would you? Lord, help us not to be caught in this mess. And Lord, not only ourselves, but help us to be aware of those that are emulating the wicked one. Lord, I pray that you would turn our hearts and our minds and our attention, our focus, to doing that which is right, and avoid that kind of problem. Lord, you're good to us. We're thankful, Lord. Thankful that you've got us in a place where, Lord, we can receive your wisdom, your understanding. And we pray that you'd help us to be what we ought to be. Lord, would you use your church to reach this community for Christ? And then, Lord, I pray that you would you bless on Sunday, Lord? Would you meet with us once again? Stir the hearts of your people, Lord. We need to hear from heaven. So we're trusting you now. In Jesus' name, amen.